Greetings to each one of you this morning. Tremendous blessing to be here already, to hear all those beautiful truths that we heard. And I thought we could have you all rise. We'll have a word of prayer here. Father in heaven, Lord, we bless you this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you for caring about us, Father, and sharing, Father, the truth to us, Lord, through many different ways, and Father, things that maybe we don't think about all the time, Lord, but we're very blessed people, Father. We're very accountable, Father. We know, Lord, you teach us so much, and Father, we're thankful that we can put our trust in you, and Lord, that you're even able to help us live this out, Father. So we come to you right now here, Lord, just to ask you, Father, for your anointing, for your blessing to be on to continue to be on this service here, Father, that these few words here, Lord, that could be a blessing, could touch all of our hearts, could continue to minister as you have been, Lord. So we just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, interesting. Thinking about what was shared already, and the enemy and how he attacks young people, and what he does to them, and when they give into it, and when they do, when they are miserable. Okay, so they try this hairstyle and this tight attire and all these things, and remember, the sin is only pleasurable for a season. So obviously, when they're trying to fulfill this, they actually there does some pleasure come from it, but it don't last. It dies out, you know, it rather some quickly for some. And so then they're at a revival meeting because they're hearing truth, they're hearing good messages, you know, they're hearing about being born again, and so now they're there with you know, their spiked hair, the things that they are really living for. And so now they want to give their heart to the King of Kings and the Lord. They are convicted. They see that this is sin that I'm living in. And now I want to give my heart to, I just had some of these thoughts here. Are you sure? And so now here they are to repent, and they go maybe back in the room, and they're serious. They even talk about some of these things that they're into, and some of the fashions that they're, and then, you know, the next Sunday at church, a lot of times you see them and everything's the same. Nothing changes. And so I think it's a terrible thing, you know, it causes, and then now their friend that's still cool, there's no distance. But if this young person could change and really listen to the conviction that God has given, it would also have a reversal, you know. So some thoughts on that. Thank you, Brother John, for sharing that as well this morning. Just was richly blessed with the song service, and greetings to each one of you this morning. So I was reflecting a little on last Sunday's message, and I was very, just a blessing to, it was a blessing for me. Brother John had a message, and I was wanting to see if someone here remembered the title of that message last Sunday. Anyone remember? Brother? Sure. And I might have this. I never re-listened to the messages. The note that I made here: blood of sprinkling, better things than the blood of Abel. And so I was thinking about that, and I just thought I'd, because when I started, I was going to share something else I was thinking about, but when I started thinking along those lines here, brought me to this. I thought it would be something that, it's not really adding to anything. It's not really what I'm going to share today, but I feel it's a continuance of when this I'll just go across some of the points that he pointed out and then continue here. We were reminded of the blood of Christ running down Calvary's mountain. Just reminded of that, you know. It seems like we live in, you know, a world that, you know, once you're a Christian, you'd never have to be reminded of that. But sitting there just soaking that in last Sunday, it was just a blessing just to be reminded of what Jesus Christ, the suffering, the things that He's done for us. We were reminded that it is important that our faith is not in repentance, but in Christ. It's not, you don't put your faith in your repentance of what, you know, I repented and I did this and I did that. You know, yes, we must repent, but you put it in Christ. We were reminded that that we needed, in order for forgiveness, it took atonement. It took blood for our sins. In order for us to be completely forgiven of our sins, that we needed blood. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be bloodshed. And God from heaven decided to come down and take care of that for us. We were reminded many people are experiencing the outer court Christianity. So we were told that there's an inner court. There was a place where the Levites, the people that were let to go in there. There's an inner court there, but most of Christianity is only experiencing the outer court, where they're not, you know, they're not going all the way with God. They're not seeing, you know, their relationship with God is not, they're not getting into the holiness of holies. And that's a big problem if we're not doing that. You know, it was laid out much, much better than what I just tried to share there, but I'm just trying to give a few little points here to move on. But we were reminded in Hebrews 10 that we have boldness to enter in because of Jesus now. We have boldness to come before, to get into the holiness of holies, to get in with God and talk to God and tell Him, and He makes a difference for us because He knows that's what we need. He loves the relationship. We were reminded through redemption, we are brought back to God. We were reminded that the blood was applied, that with the blood applied, how it sacrifice. I have this a little mixed up in my notes here. How it washes our sins away with the blood applied. It washes the sins away from us. I mean, when we have the blood, the sins are gone. And another point was, how much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offer Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more? You know, he talked about the animals that are getting sacrificed, and that blood that was shed from those dripping off the altar, that blood. But how much more should the blood of Christ purge us here this morning? What activates, another point was, and this is the last point I'm going to share here. There was many more shared, but what activates the blood? Does anyone remember that? What activates the blood of Christ in our life? Faith. That's right. So I just thought to go back a little bit on that, and just as I was reflecting on that, so now you have, you know, and I don't think any of us disagree with that message. It was beautiful. It was powerful. It was the truth. I just had to, like, this is the truth. You know, that's what, and I was just sitting there reflecting on, this is amazing. This is like, God did this for me. And so I was thinking, you know, so we look at that and we appreciate that, and we should. But why did God do this? Why would God do all of this? Now, I was thinking, what's next? If I have this blood applied, what should my life look like? What should be something that I could pour my life into? How do I do that? And I just thought, well, why don't we see what the epistles say? What did they say about who they were in Christ? When they had the blood applied, what were some of the things that they focused on? So I thought we would just go through some of the epistles. Mainly, it seems like there's a big war against. We met up with that yesterday. One of the brothers was sharing with a man, and he came into underneath the canopy. He was very, you could tell he was, the first words that came out of his mouth, he says, "I have a demon." And he said, I'm not worthy to be here. You all are too holy for me. I don't want no food. I can't even eat off you all. Seemed like God was convicting him. Seemed like he saw us, and God was using us to convict his soul. And there were some tears, and then, you know, right away he started, you know, losing that posture of heart, and started, you know, my sister died, and, you know, and then, you know, you could tell there's a little bit of, and then one of the brothers started talking about sin, and that didn't go over so well, and I don't know how the word saint come up, but I'm not sure, I didn't hear everything, but instantly there was a repel against that saint. Just, can't stand that. And you know, it's like the demon woke up in him, you know. So you're saying you're perfect. You know, you don't sin. And it's just all this. So it seems like there's a push. We have to remember, when we're saints, when we're in here this morning and we're saints of God, that we're no longer the enemies. We're no longer the enemies, usable vessel anymore. And so if somebody truly believes and truly is living a life that they're living a saint, a life like a saint, they're trying to live a holy life for God. They're giving their life to God. They're surrendering the things that want to, like, move them away from the gospel. They're surrendering it. They're talking about it. They're opening their lives. So there's a pushback from this. And I thought maybe it'd be wisdom for us to look into the epistles to see, well, what did they call themselves? Who were they? What did they view? Because if we don't have a vision of who we're going to call ourselves, what we're going to be, then that's going to affect what we're going to do. That's going to affect, like, how when I show up somewhere, that's going to affect how I'm going to handle this situation, if it, you know, or how I'm going to come across to this person. It's either going to, you know, if I don't know who I am in Christ with the blood applied, and I think we all know these things. Maybe it's nothing new. It's more to strengthen, because since I was a Christian, I can't say that every day this was just, you know, maybe where it should have been. And as I think back over my life, and I think back when did I lose this? I had questions. Is this really who I am now? Is it, you know? And we're gonna go across some of these things here. I should just start reading here. I don't want to get too far ahead of my notes and all that, because I'll repeat myself too much. So why don't we start reading in Romans 1 here. And we're gonna page through the epistles. There's all but about four of these books that don't have something that Paul's Paul's stating, or Peter, we have John saying it, we have James, we have Jude. They all identified with something. They all identified, and that's what I'd like for us to identify with today. If last Sunday, the message we heard, the blood is applied, I think it's very important that we, it's not a proud thing. I don't think that I think about Apostle Paul and think that he was proud. I don't think that I think about James and thinking he was proud. They gave their lives for this very thing. It's because they got translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, and they became something, and it was God that did it. It was God that made them this. And I have to think, it seems like when we're going through our lives, what happens is why people think it's a proud thing to say that I'm a saint, or to say that, you know, that I'm a servant of the Lord or a disciple. It seems like when the war, you know, it's a war, okay? So every day we're living our lives, we're doing things, we're going places, where things are happening. And what happens is there's things come up, okay? There's things that you maybe misspeak, or you say something to your wife, or you say something that just wasn't edifying, and all the once you don't repent of that, and you just kind of go on, and then you maybe think of it next week and you repent, and it kind of left it hang there for a while. And then pretty soon you start wondering, am I a saint? And then that's when you lost the very thing that the Lord Jesus gave you when he made you that. You know, and as soon as somebody hears saint, they think of perfection, and I think it's right. You know, the thing that keeps us a saint is the Lord Jesus. He's just wanting us to be open. I mean, He realizes that we're just dust here. And as long as we're not justifying. You know, I told a man yesterday that, you know, he was wanting something else, you could tell. And I told him that, you know, Christianity, when you become a follower of Jesus, there's many things that you don't know. I mean, you kind of know about what the people that you are around. You think of people that say they are Christians, and you kind of start thinking about those things, and you're reading your Bible. So there's many things that you don't know. So it's like I told him that it's like, it's obviously you need a total transformation. You need to get born again. But after that, I told him, picture it like you're starting preschool. Like you're there. You know, at preschool till 12th grade or 8th grade is a huge difference in a child. But I said, I gave him the account of, so you have a child that starts failing in an area in their school, and instead of them viewing it that I'm missing the mark, I'm not doing well here, they start justifying it. Well, Dad never did this subject, or whatever. You know, I'm just using an example. I mean, is it really necessary? Do I need it for life? I mean, I wouldn't have to do this occupation, like, you know. And so I gave him this example that as long as you don't justify, that's how God can work. You know, that's how you'll be a saint for the rest of your life, because we are going to need the blood of Christ. We don't want it. You know, what I mean is we don't want to use it. We want it to be a needy thing before we use it. I don't want this casual thing of just, well, I got the blood of Christ, so it's fine. You know, I failed again. I don't want that attitude either, like for my own life, or I don't think we should have that attitude. But I think you get my picture of what I'm trying to share. So let's start here. We're going to read Romans 1 through 8 here. And I want you to listen to some of these words here. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received the grace of apostleship for obedience to the faith, according to all nations for his name, among whom are we also called of Jesus Christ. To all that is in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to think. So I looked a few of these words up, and I looked, Paul called to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Here it says it in another place, it says called to be a servant. So I looked the word servant up, and I don't know how many of you would know. I'm sure some of you have heard this before at like the discipleship meetings and things, but how many of you maybe from Park County would know what the word servant is in the Strongs? What about here in Shelbyville? Slave. So Paul called to be a slave. Would that make a difference with the blood applied, going about life? I'm a slave. I'm not worthy, Lord. But you made me worthy. You've called me. I'm just a slave here. Called to be an apostle. In the Strong's, apostle is an ambassador of the gospel. What if we take what we heard last Sunday and view? It's something that God gives us, but something that we need to identify with. It's not proud to identify with this. And if we don't identify with this, it seems like we just kind of get trampled from the enemy. I don't know. The enemy just has ways to trample us. Because we're not his. We're an apostle. We're a slave. This is for the Lord. I don't know how to do it, Lord, but you can help me. Just to get the attitude of a right attitude, because of how a person thinks throughout his day is kind of how he relates to things. You show up and you've already been defeated. You're not even thinking about, and you try to be a light to somebody. I don't think so. You're just going to leave there more defeated. I never even shared the gospel with him. And down you go. It's a downhill spiral. And I would just give us something to lift our eyes to, something to many of these things that we heard and know, but I would like to title it this morning, for a little title, would be, Who Am I? I mean, we can know something, but am I living like this? Do I view my life in Christ like this? So another meaning for apostle here, and we're gonna go through the epistles really quick here, because I would like for this to be implanted. I would like for you to see it, how many times it's in the Scripture, and I won't try to belabor it, but I think it's very good for us just to see this was the heart of the apostles. This is where they got the energy. This is what fed them. They knew who they were because of Jesus. And because of what he done for them, and this is who they are now, and this is how they're going to walk. So another definition is for, I'll just read it again. Strong's had the definition of apostle, an ambassador of Christ, officially a commissioner of Christ. A commissioner of Christ. I don't know if you remember Matthew 28, the Great Commission, people call it. You know, I think that's the heading of my Bible says, in front of these three verses says, the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And when I read that, even to the end of the world, God is going to be with His people, the saints of Jesus Christ, to do this mission and to be these people that He can use here. Verse 3 here, just to comment a little bit on verse 3, concerning His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made in the seed of David according to the flesh. I was going to turn to Galatians and read 3:8-9. Chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. And the Scripture foreseeing that God had justified the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So when they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And I was just thinking about this. And it says that the Lord preached the gospel unto Abraham. That blessed me. Thinking that when that meeting there with Abraham, when he blessed him, he was preaching the gospel because he was blessing him. He was blessing him to be a separated people, see? A people that knew who they were. A people that had passion and zeal and understood that, that's what he wanted for the Israelite people. Is he finding that in me this morning? Or am I bringing a hindrance to the church in this way? You know? Because it will hinder, as the same way as fashion hinders the church. We can be casual in our spiritual lives, and it hinders the church. And, you know, I just think it does. So why don't we'll just go through the epistles here, and then we'll go on with the message. So I'm going to be just reading. I won't be commenting much. I just want to read and just. For us to soak these in here. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Cernas, our brethren, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I think I'll just read down here to verse 9, then we'll move on. I thank my God always on the behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him and in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was conformed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So here he's saying that we're called, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son. And I think this fellowship of His Son is very important. If we're not, I think that's how we're getting beyond the outer courts. We're getting through the outer courts and getting into fellowship with Jesus Christ is getting into the holiness of holies. And I think that's what keeps bringing evidence, or not evidence, but maybe like the scriptures talk about, can't come with the words right now, but it talks about the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. So it's God's Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that ye are the sons of God. And I think how the apostles here, how Paul, so far we just are reading about Paul, but that's how they were keeping their vision, you know, for who they were and what their mission was, is because of I think this relationship with Christ, getting to into the room of, you know, getting into the holiness of holies. So we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians here. I'm just going to read one verse here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Asia. So here again, an apostle. He knows who he is. We're going to turn to Galatians 1. We're going to read four verses. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. He didn't get this by man. We're going to talk about the Damascus Road a little too here once we get through this. But by Jesus Christ. So Paul, an apostle, by Jesus Christ, you could say. And the God our Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me and the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil, from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So Paul, called to be an apostle, not of man. So we'll move on to the next one. Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle by the will of God. So it was the will of God that he was apostle. And he's talking a lot of this, he's reflecting, I feel, on the Damascus Road experience. His calling. And this morning, we need a Damascus Road experience. We need to, otherwise it'll be hard for us to have this bearing witness with this. And I do say that I don't feel that everybody's experience is going to be like Paul on the Damascus Road. It's not going to maybe be, you know, him seeing into heaven and all these things, but there's going to be an experience that I was a sinner. I have sin in my life. I need something different. And where you have peace in your heart that your sins are forgiven. And I think that, you know, that is the kingdom call. Philippians 1:1-4. Paul, and we'll just keep paging through here. There's about five more here. Paul and Timos, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God unto every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy. So Paul and Timos, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints. And the word servants there is you could say slaves. They counted themselves as slaves. Are you and I slaves this morning? Do we count ourselves as slaves? You know, just some, as I reflect back in my Christian life, has that been the pattern? Do I view myself as I'm just a slave here, Lord? And the thing of it is most slaves are miserable, but this is not a misery. This don't have to be a misery. This can be a beautiful thing. This relationship with God is the only thing worthwhile once you truly find it. It's the only thing that inspires you. You know, the world becomes dead when we truly are seeing our calling and seeing what the blood that has been applied for our sins will do. So Colossians 1:1-4, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have, that you have for all the saints. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. So he's seeing himself as an apostle, as a slave, as a prisoner, as a servant. He's seeing himself that, and he's seeing the church as saints. And I'm sure he wants the church to feel that calling that he has as well. And I trust that that's what could be strengthened this morning in each one of us. That we would look at our calling and we would count it would be worthy. That we want to be like the apostles. We would want to be like the disciples were. And if this was their standard, then what is our standard? Is it this? So we'll move on to the next one. I noticed that 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he didn't mention it. But in Timothy, he did again. Just read one verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandments of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. We'll go to 2 Timothy here, 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul, an apostle. Sometimes for me it takes some convincing. And that's why I would like for us to do this morning. I'm not trying to this to... I'm just trying to page through here and see the heartbeat. Now we have Titus. So now Paul's writing a letter to Titus and he says this, 1:1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle. So now he's mentioning this twice. He's bringing both of these in. A servant, a slave, and an ambassador. So I'm a slave and an ambassador of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God elect and the knowledge of the truth which is after godliness. Okay, the next one is Philemon's. It's hard for me to pronounce that. We're going to read 1:1 here. And now he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So now he's not saying an apostle, he's not saying a servant or a slave, he's saying a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And to most our brother unto Philippian, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. A prisoner of Jesus Christ, looked it up here, a captive, as bound in bonds. Prisoner was the definition in Strong's. He pictured himself as a captive, like he was taken captive, you know, as he was just bound, you know, to the things of God. He was bound with chains, you know, to I can't, you know, but do this work of the Lord, you know. this, it was like a burden on his, in his very soul, and that this is who I am, and this is what the world needs, and this is the only thing that's worthwhile. And I just wonder, you know, where am I always that way? Is that really what my motivation is? You know, and I was convicting, you know, as I went through this again, just for my own life, just Lord, give me strength. Help me, you know. I found myself weeping and just crying out to God, just to have these things that are going to, you know, it's taking us from, you know, from it's like Christianity has been just so cheap. It's so watered down that. I'll get to some of, if I say too much on that, I want to get to my notes here later on that. I'll just leave that for now. So there was a lady came up yesterday right when we pulled up, and it was kind of strange, and I thought, you know, I thought about our calling, you know, do we know our calling? And so I was thinking about that, and then here she come walking up, and it was kind of a unique situation. She walked up and asked for a Bible. So I don't know if I didn't recognize her from before, but she could have known we had Bibles. We just put the trailer door down. And so I gave her a Bible, and I asked her, I started talking to her, and she said, right away her face lit up. She said, "I'm an evangelist." You know, and not too many times that you give that an evangelist usually has a Bible. So we were thinking about that, but I was just excited though to she knew, you know, she knew what she was there for. I don't know her life. I don't know what she was going to do with the Bible. She could sell the Bible. Who knows why she wanted to buy? But she identified it. But what encouraged me is that I'm an evangelist. I know who I am. You know, in Christ, this is what I want to be. And Why did God do all these beautiful things, as like we heard last Sunday? What was the purpose? It had to be so He could have a people that would be, not that they would elevate themselves, they would give glory to Him that this is who God made me. Because I saw that I was miserable, I was a mess, my life was a wreck, and I humbled myself to a holy God, and this was God that did this. He made me an apostle. He made me a servant. He made me a prisoner. He did this work in my life. And it identifies because you know how lost you were. So who am I this morning with the blood applied? Who are we? So we'll go on to James. We'll see what Jesus' brother had to say about this. Jesus, a servant of God. I'm sorry. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. So James was counting himself as a slave. Now we're seeing that others, this isn't just Paul, we're seeing that others, Jesus' brother, if I understand correctly. Now we're going to turn to 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout, and he names all the different towns there. So Peter, an apostle. So now we see that Peter, when instead of looking at Christ and saying, "Depart from me, I'm a sinner," he's saying, "Peter, an apostle." And I don't know what that does to you this morning. We go through our days with this view. What would that, would that make a difference? Would that make a difference in our lives? People call it pride when you when you say that your sins, you know, the man was very upset when he just couldn't handle the thought of somebody being ready to go to heaven. 2 Peter. We're going to read two verses here. Simon Peter, now he uses a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So Peter's calling a slave and an ambassador, same as Paul did one time there. So now we're going to do our last one here in Jude. 1 John there, he didn't mention it. He didn't start his letters that way. But I know that he had it. Reading his letters, I know he had it. Praise the Lord. Verse 1, 2, and 3 here. Jude, the servant. I don't know. Put your name in there. Maybe put your name and you're writing a letter to one of your friends or another church. Would we write like this? Do we view ourselves in Christ like we ought? I don't know. I just questions. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. That's pretty rich. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contending to the faith. And I think this, we're reading about the faith. We're reading about faithful men. And I think this morning my heart would be that we would earnestly contend to the vision that they had. Otherwise we will slowly just kind of conform to something else. We'll do something with our lives. The burden I have this morning, that each one of us in this room this morning, that we as a body here would know our calling and that we would take it seriously. Studying this out caused me to ponder the path of my feet, you know. Is this really my mission? Is this what I wake up for to be? You know, I know we want to be a light, and I realize we're all, I feel we're doing that. But I think God would want us to because of the pressure and how the devil hates us to think that we're saints, to think that and we can still the argument is if we call ourselves saints and if we, you know, we won't confess sin then, you know, if we sin, because now we have this high standard in the church and if you sin, you're looked down upon. I don't think that's the way it needs to be at all. Like, if we sin, we can confess it. We're called to be saints. We're called to be a holy people. How important is it this morning to think correctly of ourselves? I said that earlier. And I think at this time here, I'll say a few more things, then we're going to turn to Paul's experience there on the Damascus Road in Acts. How would Paul's story be different? I thought of this. How would Paul's story be different? You know, if he was heading down Damascus Road, before we read that, and he would have thought, well, he saw this great light. He saw into heaven. He saw the Jesus Christ, you know, saying, why are you kicking against the pricks? And you know how it is when you're faced with that and it's God and it's like, yes, Lord, you know, what do I do? But what if he would have stood up from there and praised the Lord that he was blind, you know? But what if on his way there, he would have decided, you know what? This is pretty radical. I was going to go bring all the Christians back with me. But, you know, I don't want to meet them without bringing anyone back. So we'll just go catch one or two. And I'm going to have to go back and I'm going to have to ponder this. What was this? What was this radical thing that happened? You know, and I think things in our life are more radical than what we give them credit sometimes when things are happening, when God's trying to get our attention. And we read this and we're like, well, wow, this is, you know, if that happened to me, I definitely would have saw it. But I think God is doing things in our life many times that we just don't give the credit to, oh, this is God. He's radically trying to change me in this area of my life. I mean, there it was, you know, that unbeliever spoke right into my life. That I'm weak in this area. Instead of just admitting it, you know. And just being open about it. You know, so I'm just trying to give some examples here. But Paul didn't. He went there and he didn't bring one Christian. He was actually he became a Christian there. And he left that place, let over a wall to go serve the Lord and be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I was thinking of any group, anyone that you meet, any person that maybe has an elevated job, or some people don't even take much. I mean, they can be proud over their, you know, whatever. But anybody that you meet that maybe is at a workplace that is over a certain amount of men, or they're quick, and you talk to them, they're quickly to tell you who they are, or what their position is, you know, what they're about, what's motivating them, about soldiers. You don't have to, a soldier instantly will tell you what my job is there. I push this button. I do this. This kills, you know, whatever. And Paul in his letters, and James and all of them, they were just quick to just get that out there. I'm a disciple. I'm someone for the use. I'm in the hands of God. And I wonder, when we're not saying that, is it because we're not? Is it because we're not? When we're not viewing ourselves that way, I don't know. Some questions. I know this is a mistake. You know, this is, we need to be humble about this. But I think when we're giving all the glory to God, these men did it, and they had passion, and something was driving, the Spirit of God was driving them to higher grounds. We will live what we believe. We will live what we believe that we are, I had to think. What we believe that we are, that's what we'll live up to. If we believe, you know, that we're just a sinner, that's what we'll live up to. So why don't we at this time turn to Acts 9? And I don't have the time, I guess, to read all of that. I'll maybe just, what I wanted to point out here is Jesus said, to bear thou my name. I was going to read the whole thing, but I would just break in here. If I can find it now, it's in verse 8. Somebody point that out, to bear thou my name, the verse there. I was going to read the whole thing, but I'm not, it's not sticking out to me now. I'll just talk about that a little bit. To bear thou my name, that's what God was calling Paul to. It was something that God did in Paul's life, that he wanted to take this now And when you bear the name of God, when you think about that in your life, when you're bearing His name, it's an amazing thing to be able to do, the opportunity to... Verse 15.
Okay, I looked right across to it. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So,
you know, there was something God was calling Paul to do. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And too often, the attitude about suffering in my life maybe isn't, yesterday it seemed like it wasn't quite as pleasant there at the end than it usually was, you know. And we had, obviously there was some demon, you know, things that, you know, the devil started really trying to work. You know, I think he was trying to expose some immorality to our young people. He was trying to, with the man and woman touching each other, and they didn't act like they really knew each other. And I don't know. I'm sure they knew each other, but you know, just some of the things I feel that the enemy was just trying to just, you know, throw some darts. But we're called to bear the name of the Lord. And those people, you know, as he justified his position on judgment day, he's going to be held accountable for that. And can we, as a servant of the Lord, do that? I think we can. Is the gospel different today? It seems like it could be different. You know, you look around the landscape of Christianity. How many people do you meet that are on fire for the Lord? The whole world is calling themselves a Christian. What's going to be different about me? Am I just going to give in to the, you know, just the easy kind of... Is something going to be different about me? Am I going to bear the name of the Lord? Am I willing to suffer for Jesus Christ? Christians are calling themselves sinners instead of saints. Imagine that. Here we're called to be saints. I'm an apostle. I'm an ambassador. But instead you hear, I'm a sinner. See the difference? These are the words we heard as we went through the epistles. These are the words, each one of these I got out of their little phrases. Apostle, servants, separated unto the gospel of God, received grace, prisoner. These are the words that we were hearing. Prisoner, servant. I was in a van one time with a brother here, and it always stuck out to me. I never forgot this. This happened many years ago, and he was on the phone, and I never did ask him who he was on the phone with, but he said in his phone call, he just said this. He said, if we're all sinners, where are the saints at? If we're just all sinners, where are the saints at? And I appreciated that, thinking about that. What activates the blood, as we heard last Sunday? It's faith. What activates a saintly life lived out? I think it's faith. It's just, it's not us making this up. The apostles lived this. That's what they called themselves. They bore that name. They took that upon themselves. Says, this is who I am. And it gave them motivation to be different than the world. Different than, it made them do things that they normally, I don't think, would do. Because they felt the accountability of bearing this name. If I say I'm a disciple, then what am I doing with my life? You know? What are we doing with our life? What's my passion? But it takes, just to say this again, the blood, you know, as it takes the same faith that it takes for the sin to be cleansed out of our life, I think it's the same faith to identify, to say, I'm an apostle. I'm an ambassador. And with humbleness we do this. This isn't something that we're lifting ourselves up. It's something that we need to identify with, I feel, because otherwise, like I said earlier, we become something we don't want to. We'll read Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. I'll bring this to a close here. I want us to know this morning the call is equal for all of us here this morning. It's an equal call. There's no position. It's level. I mean, it's dead level for each one of us. It's attainable. I want to say it's attainable this morning. It's not unreachable, but it'll cost you everything. And it's a good thing. But Jesus said, come, come. You know, I had to think, I'm surprised He didn't say, verily, I say unto you in this verse, Matthew 11, verse 28. But He said, come. But I put the words, come, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And I just like to lift this up this morning. The gospel call is come. As a Christian, we need to come. We need to come. There's labor in this. There's suffering in this call. It's not meant to be for us an easy road. We are to be given for service as a slave for Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, come. I think the way that I read this verse, I read it as, this is for the Christian. This is a verse for the Christian. This isn't, and I believe it can be for an unbeliever as well, but it just seemed like it can minister very well to someone that's maybe laboring. Maybe a little, that's heavy laden. They maybe forgot about, they're just a servant. Maybe they forgot about their call. How easy is that? To forget about your call. But He says, you. Take my yoke upon you. See? He's not going to just put the yoke on you this morning. I think He wants us to pick up the yoke, come alongside of Him, and we put it on. Take it upon you. You know, you identify with this. But I want you to want it. You need to see that I need to help you. What more beautiful way of explaining the very God from heaven to want to be yoked with us this morning? That would want to be as a, you know, he wants us to have a perfect picture. You see a yoke of oxen in a picture, and it's just like goes through you. You know, they're just yoked. And then you think of this verse. And He said, learn of me. You know, to think that he's meek and lowly. He can identify with us. He's been here, but he didn't sin. And that's why he wants us to overcome it. Can we accept this high calling of God on our lives? Saints, apostles, servants, separated unto the gospel of God, prisoners. I think we need a yoke, brothers. We need a yoke. If we're going to do this, if we're going to live this way, we need to learn of Him how to do it and just take the yoke. When this burden dies to keep God's when the burden dies to keep God's commandments and to be a saint of God in the church of God, we slowly drift away from God and forget His calling in our lives. Let's bring that to a close. God bless you all. This has been a blessing here. So.